Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family. This is Mama Seven, and we are A Wonderful Approach, okay? Doing radio. I love getting to Wednesday. I love getting to this time of day on Wednesday. That means we're about to get some food in us. For all my fasters, I'm looking at the sun. It's creeping, y'all. It's creeping. But we are getting very close to the end of this devotion, and I could not be prouder. This is all absolutely wonderful. We've done a great job, and I say we because I know we have been doing it. I speak to quite a few people in a day, and I am just so incredibly happy, impressed, excited, inspired even. You know, this has been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and more people are getting more and more out of the experience. So I can't get to the final number. On the final day, I'm going to say the final number. But we have already tripled what I thought. So, you know, I am so excited. And then excited about the upcoming water ritual that we have going on. We have people coming from, I think as far as Texas, Baltimore. We got some things going on, family. And we are working together, making positive things more positive. And I'm just excited. We got here on Wednesday. We survived to live another Wednesday. So, you know, it is a wonderful thing for me. It's a wonderful event for day 27, trying to work on. And for all those that are doing devotion, sidebar, you know, today is unity. And, you know, we had an awesome conversation this morning about unity, about how we begin to heal the whole person. And I say always, you know, look for the lesson. Look for the time that we're going to actually have to put some of these things in practice. Well, as expected, I got tried up on it, you know, as expected. You know, there was definitely a situation where had I not been in the mindset of unity, if I had not been in the mindset of building with others and working past my own ideas, I may have missed up on this lesson. And y'all know I do not like to mess up on lessons, okay? So it was good to be alert as to the trial and tribulation and everything like that. So, and it wasn't even a negative experience. It was just something that I would have probably failed had I not been thinking in the mindset of unity, okay? So for all those that are doing the devotions, don't be surprised when you see the test, and then try your best to do a good job. And don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. Know that part of our experience here is being tested. So when you see the test, almost welcome it in. Say, okay, I knew you were coming. I already got the answer. Here we go, okay? So today, no, before we even get to today, you can tell I'm a little excited. But last week, we were speaking about holistic self-care. So important. So important, you know, that we begin to put these things in practice, that we say, okay, look, this is what self-care is. This is what self-care looks like. You know, this is how we begin to, this is how we continue to build on our self-care. Because if we're not continuously working on it, we're setting ourselves up for this negative experience. So we have to keep moving forward in making sure that we're doing all that we can. So it was a wonderful conversation, had so many people chime in and share their self-care. How do we begin to have the self-care in us, around us, making sure that we're doing all that we can because we're responsible for ourselves. So today we are working on building your spiritual confidence. And your spiritual confidence, of course, is going to be a reflection of your carnal confidence. You know, your spiritual confidence, your spiritual self-esteem is going to be a reflection of, you know, your self-esteem that you have with yourself. You know, they're all related. You know, I have found that people don't, they're not happy joy in one area and then miserable in another one. If you have that miserable energy around you, chances are it's impacting you on a lot of different levels. And so, you know, we usually don't have those extremes. If you're unhappy, you're unhappy all the time. You don't even realize it. You know, you'll be unhappy at work. You'll come home just like a cold, just like the cooties. You'll come home and you'll be feeling negativity at home. And I mean, you'll be poised for it. You'll be ready to have this negative experience. So when we talk about building your spiritual confidence, you know, that can be your self-confidence. As you build your self-confidence, you'll be building your spiritual confidence. So we're going to bring on my wily teenager. Y'all know how much I love her. We're going to be bringing Prentice on Prentice. If I can get you to press one, and she's going to tell us all about this self-confidence, this spiritual self-esteem. So let's work on that. Let's see if I can get on the phone lines. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. How are you?
I am well, and yourself?
Oh, hanging in there. Ready to boys and I are preparing to head to the beach this weekend. So, yeah, kind of looking forward just to getting out of the house for a change.
I know that's right. I'm looking forward to getting back to any idea of the old, okay? And I know that's not going to happen. You know, I know that there are still going to be some changes because this has been such a major thing. You know, we haven't seen anything like this in our lifetime. So, but yet, we got to do those things that make us feel good. And I know you and your boys are camping enthusiasts.
Yeah, we enjoy it. And they're chomping at the bit too. I think the virtual school stuff that they've been doing and everything. I mean, it takes a toll. It really does. And
it does.
It's a different way of learning, and you know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know already. But wow, it's been definitely trying with all of this. So
yes, and then
mothers kind of leads right into this.
That's right. And us mothers have been put into a position of teacher, counselor. We've already been cook. You know, it's all we did was add more hats on top of our head. And so, and hats that we may not all be comfortable with. Everybody may not want, I necessarily don't want to teach grade school. You know, I don't want to have to work with someone who's looking at me like, you know, you know, I don't want, that's not my thing, but yet this situation has caused us to really have to evaluate education and evaluate our role in their education. So it's a lot. And like
absolutely.
You were saying, it does move right into, you know, building that confidence. So when we were talking about this earlier, going, what were your thoughts on this self-esteem and the self-confidence?
For me, just personally, that, and we're going to laugh about this later, but for me, I always used to think that my confidence came from the way people thought about me. And if they liked me, then, of course, my self-confidence is up. I'm flying high, da-da-da-da-da. And if they didn't like me, it's like, well, what's wrong with me? Why don't you like me? What can I do to make you want to be, you know, and all of that? So I used to put the effort on other people to make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I have learned through meeting with you and through all the other angels that, you know, we've worked with is that it's all about me. I have to like
yes.
me. How can I expect anybody else to like me and love me and want to be with me if I don't even like myself?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you've got to have that confidence in yourself, and, you know, and it leads to doing self-love. I mean, I'm a mom of four. Most of you guys know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mom of four. And my identity is with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're that girl that has the four boys. Yes, I'm the
mm-hmm.
one woman with the four boys. Oh, I can't believe you're out here and just taking all four of them on your own, you know. And it's who I am. But at the same time, it's
right.
not the only thing I am.
Right.
And
correct.
So I've had to relearn and really learn to like me more
mm-hmm.
Over the last couple of years. Now that they're getting older, it makes it a little easier. But still, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I got to like me first.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I'm learning
then,
at this point, is to like me first.
And I'm realizing, I know for a fact, because I remember who I first met. When we are spending too much time focusing on what other people want and what other people are doing, we're missing out on our own wants and likes and doing. You know what I'm saying? We're totally not engaged in this process. And so, because we're spending all of our time and energy trying to figure out what this other person likes, rather than even thinking about what you may actually like. And so it does get to be hard. And the word confidence is so appropriate for right here, because that's what it is. It's a confidence that you have to have within yourself. And this is not just a carnal thing. You know, when you are overly worried about other people, how can you be focused on your own personal relationship with God when you're worried about what other people are thinking and saying and feeling?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've gone to church a few times with my brother up in Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife are very, very engaged with their congregation, and they're, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're always supportive in doing things with the church. And I'll go to church
mm-hmm.
with them, and, you know, every time I'm in there, the music just hits me, and it just touches me so much that, I mean, I can't go to church without crying. It just,
uh-huh.
you know, it just doesn't happen. And it's not, they're not sad tears. They're
uh-huh.
joyful tears. But it's just,
uh-huh.
I'm so overwhelmed with the love and the support in all of that
uh-huh.
that it just, and it doesn't happen at every church. It really is the atmosphere and the energy in specific groups that just really bring that emotion out. And it, you know, and I can't worry about, well, you know, what are they going to say if I start crying? Oh my goodness, you know, or, you
uh-huh.
know, I got a little dust in my eye, you know, whatever it is.
Right, right.
You know, but I can't worry about that, because that affects my relationship with God. And if I feel like I'm getting filled up just listening to the music and just feeling the music, you know what, it is
mm-hmm.
what it is. And that's my
yep.
thing. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else
mm-hmm.
gets to feel what I feel. You know, that's mine.
mm-hmm. And I think when we are overly focused on other people, again, we miss that. You don't even know what you feel anymore. You know, you may have to even suppress how you feel. And the idea of that is just mind-boggling. How can you suppress your own thoughts and feelings for somebody else's, you know? So 100%, we have to talk about, how do we move from over-focusing on somebody else to getting our own self good and right and righteous and everything else like that? And that's a journey, kind of coming back into yourself, you know? And that's something that I really want to spend a little time speaking about, because there are many people that are wrapped up in someone else's dream, someone else's life. They're literally living someone else's life, not their own. And so that means I'm over caught up with what my coworkers have to say, / what my coworkers may be wearing or anything like that. I'm overly caught up in what my boyfriend or my potential boyfriend is thinking or saying, and I'm not focusing on my own true emotions and thoughts or I'm overly focused on what my mother says I'm supposed to be doing and not really my own true identity, or I'm too young to have I'm still developing my own identity. But, you know, there are quite a few people that are stuck in that place, and they need some help, you know, trying to get out of that and get to the place where they can start to think for themselves and be okay with their own thoughts. Was there ever a time where you realized you were not paying attention to yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when my husband and I first separated and I'm, you know, moved into this house by myself, and of course I've got the kids that come in every now and then, we didn't really have a set schedule, and there would be nights where I'd be sitting here and I'm all by myself. And mm-hmm. I've got to really focus on me and wonder, you know, it really took some time just to kind of get used to being with me. Because, like
yeah.
I said, my identity is tied to my children. And every time
yeah.
that I, you know, I don't sit and think for myself. You know, I take a shower because, well, I'm starting to stink and I hadn't been in one in a while. So, you know, because I'm dealing with the kids.
Right.
You know, and for me just to be able to go in and to take a shower and not have to worry about whether I've got, you know, little fingers coming in under the door or who's coming in to
right.
talk to me and sitting right next to me, you know. It was something I had to get used to. I had to start to enjoy
yeah.
my own company.
Yeah,
and then you
that.
Take it to a full extreme after that, in which, you know what, I just want to be just by myself for a little while. And so
mm-hmm.
then you kind of got used to it, and it's like, no, I don't need you here. You can go stay,
mm-hmm.
go see your grandmother, go something. I don't need
mm-hmm.
you here.
mm-hmm.
I need my me time. Because you understand that, you know what, I need that. Everybody needs that time
yeah.
by themselves for a little bit. So,
yes,
yeah,
it is.
It's been a learning process, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, now that you are not 18 anymore, okay, and now that you're coming back into, like, your own understanding of self, how did you realize, you know, what made you say, okay, I like this self? Or what made you say, okay, I got to work on this self? If this is the self I got to work on this self.
I think it came down to my mindset and just thinking, you know, starting to write things down and just kind of seeing where my mindset was. And a lot of it in the early, when I first separated, was very negative, and it was like, ugh, what's wrong with me? Why can't, you know, why doesn't this person like me? Why, you know, why? And then it's like I had to kind of take a step back, and luckily a really good friend helped me out, and I took a step back and just had to think to myself, you know, that I am good at what I do. I am a lot for people to handle, and some people just can't understand that. And I had to realize that it was their reaction, and that was on them. It was their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mine. I don't need to carry that.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started realizing that, then I was able to kind of get myself together and
mm-hmm.
you know what? It's his loss. It's not about me. You know, and I've
mm-hmm.
got to do what I've got to do for my boys, and I want them to have this type of an experience, and, you know, and I want them to go through these things, and that's why we don't stay home. I mean, we're supposed to be, but we don't stay
okay.
home if we can help it, you know, because
okay.
you never know what you're going to encounter, and everything that we do is mm-hmm. a lesson. Like you mentioned before,
right.
it's a lesson. Good, bad, or ugly, it's a lesson.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Oh, I'm going to make it a lesson.
And so,
so it's not a mistake. See, if you don't learn from it, then you have now made a mistake. And I'm like, well, easy on the mistake. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't mind learning a lesson, but I don't want to make a mistake. And so that's your way of getting out of that, you know. Yeah, everything is, and especially when you have children, everything really is a lesson. You know, even when I'm like, okay, huddle up, you know, huddle up, crew. This may not be the best way to handle this. You know, let's all learn from this. This was not the move. And so, we can talk about it, and we do talk about it, you know, hey, what's a different way to handle this? You know, how can we have moved differently in the middle of this? So, you know, it is definitely a learning experience, no matter how old you are. You know, I know, and we're talking about big transitions in life. When that transition, when you're moving from, like, let's say your parents' understanding to your own understanding, you have to have your spiritual confidence to do that. You know, so many times, you know, we get, I don't say beat into us, but we get drummed into us, you know, this is what religion is, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You go to church on Sundays, you do this, you do this. And so we get that, we have this understanding of this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But, you know, right now, especially in A Wonderful Approach, are the people that are coming are younger. You know, they're not waiting until 40 to start to look around and say, hey, I feel other things. I do other things. I want to pray in other ways. And sometimes coming out of that understanding of, you know, that you've known, that your mother has taught or your family has taught, it can be very difficult. So, you know, developing that confidence and developing your own voice in the middle of all this is so important. It's so important because, again, this is you. You know, we're talking about spiritual confidence, you know, self-esteem, those, that's self. You are the one that has to evaluate that. So when you're coming of that age and everything, that's a journey. That's a journey. And, you know, again, this is A Wonderful Approach Radio. This is not just for me and Prentice to talk, because we can talk. We do this, okay? Join in. We do this. We talk about the kids, the boys.
Yes, we do.
You know, we're boy moms, okay? So we do this with each other. But share how you've had to build that spiritual confidence in any transition. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not easy sometimes. Sometimes God will ask you to do something and you really just weren't planning on doing it like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you may have had other plans of, you know, well, let me try this way. Let's try that way. And it takes a minute to build that confidence in God, you know, build that understanding in God, you know.
It does. And, you know, going through this, a lot of that, you know, where you're in a way conditioned to those sort of things, where you've got your, you know,
mm-hmm.
mom and dad were Baptist, therefore you have to be Baptist, or you were, you know, mom and dad were Catholic, you have to be Catholic. I mean, all of that goes to your root chakra and your tribal chakra. And I think as we start to develop a sense of self, you know, we
mm-hmm.
break away from that. And we, you know, it takes a little while in those teenage years and even into
mm-hmm.
your, you know, the 20s and all, you're really trying to find your place. And that can shake
mm-hmm.
your confidence, not just spiritually, but just emotionally and everything else. And so,
yeah.
you know, you're really focusing. And once you start to put those things into order and you find the group or the tribe that works for you, which again goes towards
mm-hmm.
that root chakra, you know, once you find your tribe, you start to be able to work and develop
oh.
those other areas of your life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
it all
fits together.
It's all connected. And one thing I know for sure is, you know, we're talking about, you know, the chakras, and we spend a lot of time with the chakras. When there is a block in one of the chakras, that impacts the other chakras. So there are times when your chakras are too open, and there's times when they're too closed. See, I thought they could only be closed. You know, they're like, no, there are times when they can also be too open, and then it forces everything to move in an unhealthy manner. And I was like, wow, look at so 100%. That's why I tell people, look, don't block that idea. You know, don't block the idea. Keep that idea open, or, you know, spend some time with that idea. You know, don't hesitate to build on that some more. So it's very, very important that we are balanced in what we're doing. And don't be afraid to grow gradually. You know, this is not a race. You know, we have to tiptoe and take our steps so that we know what we're doing. So don't be afraid to let it grow until you get really good and confident in it, you know. So, Prentice dear, I have someone that would like to join in the conversation, okay? So hold on for just a second.
Come on.
Greetings, welcome to the show.
Love and Light family. How
oh,
are you?
Oh, hey, Sister Makita, how you doing?
I'm grand.
Hello, Sister.
Awesome.
Wonderful, wonderful topic.
Awesome.
And where do I start? The development of this spiritual confidence kind of, for me, I will say, came more so when all the booty pops started. I kept getting hit in the head. And it was just like, oh, okay, so you're still not listening, even though I showed you, because I gave you this gift and you've seen it. And then I showed you another way to confirm it, and you still don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
So after mm-hmm. that happened, you know, the time of 10, I realized that I need to be a little bit more obedient. And the moment
mm-hmm.
I started being more obedient, the confidence grew.
Okay.
It's not that I'm meant to be perfect, but I am meant to do the work and
mm-hmm.
the intention.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people are waiting for, oh, I got to have this perfect and that right, and I have to have exactly, you know, these bright, new, shiny glasses that cost all this money and da-da-da-da. And the actual,
yeah.
you can go to the Dollar Tree and get the glasses and put the intention and the love and all the good stuff and the materials on it. And it
okay.
will work just as much, if not more. So
mm-hmm.
once
mm-hmm.
I started focusing more so on the intention and being intentional with my prayers, being intentional with my time and my space and my energy and who I allowed around me. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of things being in there, a lot of the things that I was going through wasn't for me. It was other
right.
people. So once I was able to recognize that and I was able to set the atmosphere of what will be around me, things started
right.
to improve.
Mm-hmm.
The confidence
mm-hmm.
started to grow. And I'm absolutely grateful for being a part of a wonderful approach, you know. Yeah, I know.
Amen.
Yeah, I know how much.
Amen.
it is truly a collective of us coming together
yeah.
and bringing the good, the bad, the ugly, and working through it. Because it's a progress. It's progress. You know, it's a process, excuse me. And the fact that we're
absolutely.
Able to do that, you know, offer advice, not feel like, oh, I'm being judged because I made this particular decision. I'm not being
right.
judged. I'm being assisted in the healing process. So when you start
mm-hmm.
to change your language in it and understand the benefits of each and every situation, that there is truly a lesson to be taught, whether it's for you, the other party, or someone on the outside watching how you handle this, Ms. Spiritualist, let's see how you handle
right.
this situation.
okay.
that has happened a time of 10.
Mm-hmm.
With all of those
mm-hmm.
things happening, it's just that more important that I do what I'm supposed to do. And there are times I don't want to. There are times when these visions are so intense, I'm like, and you're showing me because... Because
right,
I
right.
need you to go ahead and process this, so when this person comes to you, you'll be prepared to help them through and help them on their healing process. Once I started
mm-hmm.
recognizing the cycle and the different things that were going on, it was like, oh, okay, I can do this. This might not
mm-hmm.
be the best day to do it, but I can. And
mm-hmm.
if I am
mm-hmm.
charged to do so, then I must do my part. And no
That's
one thought
right.
this was going to be easy. No one. We get voluntold stuff all the time. No one says it was going to be easy. But when we get on the other side and we look at the lesson and we get to converse about all these things, we're just like, wow, you know, what a wonderful and beautiful experience, because
awesome.
We trust what the Most High had told us to do, and we were obedient. So I'm grateful for that. And as always,
amen.
I thank you for being an inspiration to the inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you again for the platform, because we need this. We don't have to agree on everything. We know when we have to come together, we know how to come together and make it happen. And for that, I'm grateful.
Right. Amen. Yay.
Amen.
Okay. Okay, she came and put that down. Okay, so the booty pop. Let's clarify the booty pop, okay? The booty pop is when you are doing something that you know you should not be doing, and you get swatted. You know, the universe kind of sends you a signal. You're out of line, and there's a little swat, okay? Now, if we, you know, imagine what a little swat feels like to a bug. It's probably going to feel like the earth is shaking, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes those little swats, they really, really don't feel good, okay? And that we only call them booty pops and swats because we know if God wanted to, we would have, you know, been walking around here looking like a duck, you know? So the fact that we survived, we're here to tell the story of the lesson, means, you know, we have done our job and, okay, we've learned and hopefully we're not going to repeat that, you know. But building that spiritual confidence is such an important task. And we have to begin, you know, I love to hear about when that transition happened. Go ahead, dear.
And I think she brought up another good point, too. It has to do with perception as well. You know, if you have this perception that everybody's against you and things like that, guess what? That's what you attract. Everybody is against you in that case. But the minute you flip it around and you're on top of the world, you know what? Everybody else is on top of the world with you. You know, and being able to identify those energies, whether you're there to help them or whether you need to just put them off to the side and let them handle their stuff. You know, it's all about that perception.
That's right. Very much so.
Because we don't have to help everybody. I mean, most of us want to help everybody, but we don't have to help everybody. And at some point, you may be helping somebody and they're really just taking advantage. And that's not...
Yeah.
That's not beneficial to you and your self-esteem. That brings you down. That brings you down for your spiritual esteem, your self-esteem, everything. And at some point, you have to be strong enough to say, thank you, but no thank you.
Yes.
And walk away.
And it's so real. The words that you are speaking are so incredibly real. There are times where, you know, I tell you, I'm going to have to love you from across the room, okay? Meaning you stay over there and I'm going to stay over here. And we're going to be okay with that, you know. Sometimes people, all they need is your example. They don't need you to come and do it, you know. Everything that we're supposed to handle, God has equipped us. I know how to solve all of my problems. He's given me the tools, the resources, everything like that. Even if the resource is a telephone for me to call somebody else to help me, I have all of that. But what I don't have is the tools to fix your problem. Your problem is something that you have to dig into and to look at, you know. And some of this, especially when we're talking about confidence and we're talking about esteem, you are the one that has to look and say, hey, this is what I think and this is what I see. I'm not going to be able to do it. I can cheer you on. I can encourage you, but the victory is really yours. You know, you will win this battle against yourself. You will win this battle against all of that negative thinking, that harmful thinking. You win that battle, not me. And so we have to really start to think about the things that are impacting us and whose idea is it? We have to also think, whose idea is this? Whose idea is it to, you know, that you have to be, for my women folks, this perfect size 8? Whose idea is that? You know what I'm saying? Because often you will find, you know, no one is a size 8. And, you know, sometimes not even the mates require size 8, you know. But we will really hurt ourselves trying to live up to other people's standards. So this is where you have to begin to have your own voice. And your voice has to be the loudest. I'm not saying don't listen to anybody, you know, because a lot of times, you know, we need that outside influence as well. But really, we have to determine our own voice in the middle of everything else.
That's the truth. Yeah, we've got to be able to listen to ourselves. And like I said before, I mean, if I don't like me, how can I expect others to appreciate me as well?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, hearing that voice inside myself and being able to listen to that voice is what's going to help me be able to do that.
And it's a process.
Put those naysayers to the side.
That's right. That's right. And it's a process. You know, we have to begin to really sit back and say, hey, I'm worth this time. I'm worth this revelation. I'm worth the energy. You know, if you already know that your self-esteem has taken a beating and a bruising from whatever reasons in life, you know, I know, divorce is one of the big ones, you know what I'm saying? Trying to leave home and be your own person, that's a big one. You know, getting to this whole midlife crisis, that's a big one. You know, we have some big changes that can really knock the confidence right out of you. You know, so we have to find ways and reasons for us to build that confidence. You know, I would love to hear, and we're going to talk, I want to hear about how do we build the confidence, because, of course, a wonderful approach, we're going to leave you with some homework. You know, we're going to leave you with some things to do and some ways to go about looking into this, you know. So I remember a lot of our conversations, 5 years ago, when we had to do a lot of looking into, you know, that mirror, you know, how do you begin to see yourself? Out of all of your assignments that you've had and everything, is there any one that really just stuck out like, okay, this is the one where I said, okay, this has got to change or whatever? Was there one that really made that big difference for you?
For me, no. I'm trying to think. I don't really – I mean, it's all
been so many.
Cumulative.
right.
And so many.
You know what?
And it's just cumulative, and each one builds on something else.
That
so
is
it
exactly
really,
it.
Yeah, you can't just pinpoint one, because what I learned 4 years ago versus what I know now, I mean, I'm still learning. You know, my self-confidence, I mean, I've been in a job that I've had for 23 years, and I switched companies this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And new processes, new things, and I'll be honest, I think I'm finally, it's been 6 months, I am finally starting to rebuild my self-confidence in my abilities, because things were just different, and there was a bit of a learning curve, and it's taken me some time to really get in the groove of things. And I can tell, you know, when you ask me today, well, what do you want to talk about? What's on your heart? And that's when I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I'm just now starting to get my self-confidence back when it comes to the job. And I know what I'm doing. Like I said, I've done it for 23 years. But it's like starting with a new group of people, they don't know how I work. And it can be a little rattling.
Because
it makes you think that, you know, maybe I don't know as much as I thought I did, you know, and so you start to question yourself. Do I really know this as well as I think I do? And so, you know, just really trying to build that up and to really get going with it. And Like I said, I'm just now rebuilding that. So, again, mm-hmm. I'm still in a learning process.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect to quit.
And you, right. And, you know, I think the big thing that sometimes is shocking for us is that once we reach a certain age, we figure, I know everything now. You know, I got a good grip on this. I know everything I need to know. And when you're introduced to something new, it can be, like you said, a very uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable. You can feel vulnerable. You can feel anxious. You can do that whole turtle move and think you're going to hide back in your shell. And it really does become it can be one of those blows to your confidence because you are used to doing it a certain way. And so having all of those opportunities to build your confidence is so important that we do that. You know, so, you know, sometimes we do get kind of stuck in doing things our way, seeing things our way, and then when they're presented a little bit different, we're on freakout mode. We don't know what to do. And so as we build our network, and when I say network, I'm talking about who is your keeper. You know, I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. Who's here to walk this journey with you? You know what I'm saying? Who is here to help you with these processes? And then who are you helping? You know, this, like the Fast Buddies, I can tell you, the new people were like, oh, my God, I don't know this person. I just can't call them. And then all the angels were like, whatever. Hey, how you doing? This is who I am. This is what we got to do. And, like, get in there and get her done. And I'm like, be easy with them. They're like, yeah, I got it. Come on, I got this. You know, because once you have gone through the process, you're like, oh, I got this. I'll do it. You know, I think when it comes to the Fast Buddies, the funniest Fast Buddies out there, I have to say our Niecy has her Fast Buddy, okay? And you can't tell Niecy nothing, all right? I got this. I'm doing this. And I'm sitting here like, ain't you the baby? Okay, wait a minute. And so now the baby's not the baby anymore. And now she got Fast Buddies. And now she is, like, taking over the world. And I'm like, yo, that confidence went from the toilet to the Empire State Building. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you can see it in all areas. I'm like, baby girl, I'm sorry if I'm calling you out. But, I mean, it has been in such an amazing journey. And all we're doing is like, look, confidence, you know, and she has been built up and nurtured and she is off and flying, okay? And so that spiritual confidence, you said a really key word. It's accumulative. It is definitely the journey, not just one particular event. That is very key to remember. And, for all the new people that called me nervous, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? How do I do this? It's a journey. So don't get upset or don't worry if it, you know, you have to take 15 steps and it only looks like this other person took 2 steps. Don't worry about that. Just know that it's a journey. You're going to get there, you know? Super awesome.
Yep.
Well, I got another person that would like to speak. Okay? I have another
Wonderful.
Person that would like to speak. Okay? Hold on for just a second. Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Hey, it's Alafia. How are you?
Alafia, sister, how
Greetings.
Are you?
Greetings.
Hey, sisters. Woo! Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Look here. Unique, don't get her started. She's on her best behavior. She is on her best behavior.
I'll do it for you.
Okay. Tell us about that spiritual confidence.
Spiritual confidence, this is a very good topic because I'm going through this myself. And
Amen.
and I'm going through it because I, you know, as you ascend and as you go to different levels, you know, you have to build mm-hmm. up that confidence. Now, how you build it up? You know, for me, it comes with prayer because mm-hmm. a lot that in the beginning when I first started to deal with a higher sense of my spirituality, I mm-hmm. realized that a lot of things that were in my life were things that I inherited. So the confidence that was given to me or what mm-hmm. was given to me at that time, you know, trickled down from mama, grandmama, grandpa, you know, dad, da-da-da-da.
Yes.
But for you to step out on your own, knowing that somebody has always told you what to do, now you
yes.
really have to dig deep and listen to yourself. That trusting self is trusting God. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you have to trust that God is going to put into you the things that you need. And if you don't have it, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So
right.
when you're ready and when God knows that you're ready, you'll have those people that will come into your life. Now, when those people come into your life, are you willing to listen? Are you willing
mm-hmm.
to, like the Sister Makita said, are you willing to be obedient? You know,
yes.
are you willing to really sit there and put in the work? So putting in the work, being obedient, listening to yourself, you know, and the way you can listen to yourself is get into that prayer, not just praying, but meditating. When we pray, we ask. When we sit and meditate, we're listening. We're
mm-hmm.
allowing that to come in, that message to come to us. And it allows us to align our chakras. So we got the chakra guru on the phone. So, you know,
yeah,
it helps us to get, you know, to get those chakras in a line, you know, because
mm-hmm.
when they're in a line, whether they're too open or too closed, because I realized that for me, it was my throat and my root.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people that probably deal with depression have something going on with their root because that also deals with their creativity. So I realized
mm-hmm.
that when my root was blocked, my creativity was blocked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I also realized that's how God was working with me and developing my spirituality or helping me to help other people. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't speak my truth, which is my gift that I'm supposed
yeah.
to use to help other people. If I'm not speaking my truth, then I'm not really doing what God needs me to do. So
exactly.
that spiritual discipline,
mm-hmm.
that it's really important. And I think for myself, being able to be in prayer, meditating more, you know what I'm saying, and that built up my confidence. You know,
mm-hmm.
it allowed me to, in practice, you know, over these last 30 days, whew. If I haven't learned anything, I get up on time. I get up a whole lot
okay.
earlier than I normally did. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, the sun, and I'm still working with the sun setting, but,
right.
you know, but to me, when I close my eyes and it's cloudy, technically the sunset, but, you know, that's another subject, but still,
mm-hmm.
that's discipline, you know, and during
yes.
this time, the prayers, the meditations, you know, the morning, setting that tone in the morning
yes.
helped a lot. So, you
yes.
know, that's
yes,
what I
does.
Wanted to add. So thank you,
Amen.
Ladies, for bringing this to us.
Thank
you for the platform. And, yeah, and I appreciate it. And love you. Can't wait to see you all. Peace.
See you. See you.
Thank you.
Know,
thank you.
I'm getting in my mobile. Oh, I don't play. I get in my car and I make it go. Okay. But, you know, having the years that we have under our belt, you know, working together, you know, we've all been a part not just of our own spiritual development, but part of each other's. You know what I'm saying? We've been building that confidence with each other and building each other's self-esteem and everything else like that. And I know personally the work that you put into others that may go unrecognized. You know, you're such a sweet one where you don't need the puff up, but you do the work, and we are all building into each other. So tell me a little bit about what it takes to be there for somebody as they're working through their situation. You know, Unique mentioned depression. You know, it's real, some of the situations that are going on, and how these blows to our confidence really can manifest into some pretty dangerous areas.
I think a lot of times, you know, to be supportive of somebody else, it really, it's not necessarily, I mean, we're talking about confidence, but, you know, you can be confident in them, which can help build your confidence as well. But just being there for them, to me, means that I'm available. You know, and there's times that maybe they aren't reaching out, or, you know, they want to handle things on their own. Well, I'm going to be there to kind of watch, and if I need to, I'll nudge. You know, I like the way Makita put it, with a little booty pop. Yeah, that's kind of what.
Yeah.
I'm not popping your booty, but I'm just going to kind of tap you over to go to this side, because you're getting too far, you know, to one side or the other. And I don't want you falling off that cliff. And, you know, and so it's just being there. And sometimes if you're not hearing from your folks or whatever, you know, you want to reach out and just say, hey, I think you're doing a great job. You know, if you need me, if you want to talk. And sometimes just opening that door, just cracking that door open a little bit, just allow someone just to go ahead and, you know what, I'm glad you reached out to me today, because I'm just having such a bad day. Or, you know, oh, I've got such a great news to tell somebody. And, you know, Mary Lou is awesome with me with that. And if I'm feeling bad, or, you know, there's just times that I just get a random text from her, and it's like, you know, I really need to hear that. I really need to see that. I need to talk to her for a minute about that. And it just really, it lets me know, and if someone's supporting me, that lets me know that somebody else out there cares about me. It's not just me having to care about me.
It does. That the networking, the reaching out is so important. I have reached out to people. You know, Spiro, their ancestors will be harassing me. Call them right now. And I'm like, oh, Spirit, it's kind of late. And call, you know. So I call, and they're like, oh, man, this is, your timing could not have been more perfect. And I'm like, oh, kind of glad I called. You know, you don't know. I wasn't going to call, but, you know, I'm so glad I did, because, you know, there's a situation right here, you know. That happens frequently. And whenever it does, I'm like, oh, thank you, God, for, you know, at least having me hear that something was needed at that moment. And so, you know, I'm ever so thankful any time I can do that. And I've had people call me, and I'm like, yeah, I needed some money. I needed even a sweet distraction. You know what I'm saying? Just talk to me, say something, you know, tell me a crazy joke or something, but distract me from this chaos that's right here in front of my face. And those confidence builders, you know, let's recognize that we're all really kind of going through something, you know, and it's something called life. you know, forget COVID, forget shelter in place, you know, forget jobs that we either have or don't have. Forget all those other things that are going on. Just life in general can be challenging, you know. So let's try to be more supportive of each other as we're going through these life challenges. And before we go, I want to talk about these young people, okay, because they are really, really becoming more and more present in the organization, and I'm finding that their challenges are unique. You know what I'm saying? They're dealing with issues and challenges from, I want to say, from an ignorant perspective. And yeah, an ignorant means lack of knowledge. You know, they truly don't know. They haven't established these understandings yet. And so when I say they're not confident, they truly don't know what to do. You know, they're looking for help. They're looking for answers. They're looking for something. what advice would you give to, you know, some of these young people that are coming through? And this goes to the collective, because I think if you're over 30, that means you have survived something. So, you know, press one, share. What would you give to these millennials? Because there's quite a few of them, and you know, they struggle differently. They won't ask for help because they don't want to seem foolish, or they don't want to seem like, or maybe I was supposed to know that or something. They're really, really lost, and they're trying to find a way. So they may seem gung-ho over here and the gung-ho over. What would you do? What would you say to them to help them with this?
Well, I think a lot of the younger generation, it's almost like they've been made to grow up a little faster than they really should have. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm from Generation X, and, you know, we're the ones that came out with the cell phones. We're the ones that, you know, we developed all that, but these guys have been born with cell phones in their hands, for example.
Yes.
And, you know, everything's at their fingertips and, you know, things like that. And so, yeah, they feel like they should know things, but at the same time, they don't. And a lot of those,
yeah.
even for lack of a better phrase, family values have kind of gone away. For example, just having those meals at home. And as you're speaking, the one thing I'm thinking about is, you know, how many people just don't even have the confidence to boil water of this younger
okay.
generation? And I hate to break
Google.
It down that simple, but is there a YouTube on how to boil water? I mean, what am I looking for? And
yes.
I was thinking about it because I do like to stare, and I like to fix meals with my boys and have them join me. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
three out of four of them, well, they can all cook and get something to eat, but three out of four of them, you know, they love to cook eggs. They like to
mm-hmm.
boil rice or whatever it is. And I think that if it weren't for me sitting there and going through that with them, and, you know, having the confidence to screw up and make that a lesson, then it's
right.
not, you know, it's what they need. And I mean, I can remember
mm-hmm.
my mom making dinner, but I don't remember ever actually sitting there and helping her make dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
My grandmother and I would bake together. We would, you know, we did cookies from me being knee-high to a grasshopper to the
mm-hmm.
day she passed away, and I've carried that on, and I, you know, I get the boys involved in that too. But it's just one of those things that I am definitely more confident in baking because of having that guidance
mm-hmm.
from my older
mm-hmm.
generation, from my ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
But you
mm-hmm.
know, nowadays, people just don't take as much value in family as I
mm-hmm.
think the older generations did. You know,
mm-hmm.
we've seen in our country and in our culture that divorce is rampant. And people are like,
yeah.
oh, I don't like you anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and go find somebody else. And they're
yeah.
more focused. And it's almost a selfishness, not so much even a self-love. It's just selfishness. They need, oh, I
mm-hmm.
need this person to love me. I need this person to love me because they don't love themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes
mm-hmm.
it very difficult on that younger generation. And they are resilient. I will give them that. But they just don't, they're not being taught and instilled with those values that some of the older generations grew up with.
Absolutely. I could not have said that better. It is so important, one, that we recognize that they learn by doing, you know what I'm saying, and by watching. This is why they're watching videos all the time. They're watching someone else do something, you know. So they're watching us. And even when it comes to doing this spiritual confidence, we need to allow them to be very close to us. If anybody knows from retreat, workshop, whatever, the people closest to me are the young legs. You know, everyone, elders, okay, we sit down, we get situated and everything else like that. But the flurry that's around me, those are the young legs. Those are the ones that really need a lot of guidance. You know, I need them close enough to me so I can say, don't do that. We're not doing that. So we're not, don't do
some
that.
Some of us aren't that young for you to do that too.
Say it again.
Some of us aren't that young and you do it to us.
Look, young legs just means you're the youngest. It don't mean that you're that young. Okay, I know some young legs afterwards. They'd be like, where am I young at? Okay. How do I get rid of that? Okay. But that's who's closest to me. And I can remember in all of the spiritual houses I was a part of, you know, I remember being with Mother Taylor. I had to be 7 or 8 years old. I was young. And she would be speaking and preaching, and she would keep me in arm's distance. I was right there beside her. It was so important that she had just be able to reach. And she had priests under her and people that did this, but all this stuff, all this good stuff. She didn't care. She loved them babies, and she wanted those young people because she knew they needed it most, and they needed it more, you know. And so when it comes to building spiritual confidence, that comes from actually being close to, being exposed, having the opportunity for someone to guide you. If I don't see what you're doing, if you're not over here close to me, then how am I supposed to be able to help you? I don't know what you got going on. So this is where, you know, when it comes to those millennials, if you are a little confused, one, it's okay. You know, we were all confused at that age. Some of us even more confused, you know. So don't worry about what you don't know, but get close enough to someone who does know, and then that can help you really usher in, you know, that confidence and start to have you understand more, build more. So we definitely need to, you know, because we all have our the people that we work with, the people that we care about, it's a blessing to be able to reach out to someone and to be a positive part of their life and everything else like that. But especially when it comes to our young ones, you know, even the knuckleheads, when we see them acting up, sometimes they're doing that because they don't know. And I would love to sit here like the old heads and be like, oh, they should know. How? How are they going to know if we don't stop and take the time to show them? And as a boy mom, don't be upset if you have to show them twice. You know what I'm saying? It happens, you know.
Well, every day, you know.
Okay. It happens. And then one day they'll do it by themselves, and your mouth will fall open, and they'll be, oh, Mom, you know, you're so dramatic. And you're like, yeah, I've only been saying that every day for a couple of years, though. Okay, you know. So when it comes to our young people, you know, and they're never too young to start having a spiritual understanding, okay? If they can memorize Elmo and Elmo's song, to Elmo's world and stuff like that, they can memorize some prayers. You know, they can start, even if they're singing their grace or whatever, you know, they're never too young to start exposing them to spiritual energy. And no matter how old you think you are, you're never too old to start to redefine yourself spiritually. You know, this is a journey. We are going to have many transitions. Don't be afraid to start over in a transition. So, you know, everyone knows I did a serious Kabbalah study, still work with the Kabbalah understandings, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. And I had to be okay that when I was learning about the angels and Enoch and the tree of life and all that comes with the Kabbalah, I did not start from a seasoned spiritualist position. I started from A, okay? You know, in the beginning there was nothing. You know, that I started from that, you know. It's okay. You know, this is how you start to build that confidence in yourself. You have to start from A. So don't be afraid or shy or feel some sort of way about starting at A, starting at the beginning. It's so important.
Hello?
I remember when we were speaking about, I can't remember how long ago, we were talking about the chakras, and I was like, yeah, I need you to get into that for real, for real. Understand that, you know, I understand a little bit. I need you to understand a lot. And you were like, yes, ma'am, you know, and so off you go, and you've been the guru since, and this is how it works, saying that confidence was built. And, you know, I remember I put my people on platforms, you know, not just radio programs. You know, there are places and spaces where you stand up and have to recite and do libation and everything else like that. And the first time, you're probably like, this woman is crazy. I'm not doing this. Bah, 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 bah. But after that, you begin to say, see, this is a part of you. You know what I'm saying? And it really gets really easy to do it after that.
It does. The more that you do it, of course, the more you're going to be comfortable with it, the more your confidence is going to grow. And honestly, the first time you ever asked me about doing that, and I'm sitting there, I mean, I had a general understanding and was really interested in it, and I loved it. You know, for me, it all started just with loving the colors. And here I am, and I'm just like, you're like, okay, tell us about this. And I'm just like, let me tell you what. And then you had me on the radio talking about it, and I'm like, okay, can't look dumb here. Let me get prepared for this. And, you know, it's studying and building that confidence. And I had to say, okay, well, Seven's got confidence in me. You know what, I guess I can do this. And if I start to fail, she's going to probably pick me up off the floor and help me out a little bit. So.
That's right. You know. And guess what? If you ever fall on the floor, and this is for everybody, like Talib will tell you, you will get a blanket. And if Melissa's there, you'll even get a pillow, okay? You'll even get a pillow.
You fall out,
okay? You'll come to, you'll be okay. But, you know, building that confidence is such an important piece to it. I'm going to take one more caller, sister, and we're going to go ahead and grab this caller real quick, okay?
Sounds good.
Greetings. Welcome to the show.
Greetings. Oh, sister Faith. Yeah, I haven't heard my voice in the show in a while. Yes. Hey, sister Princess. I'm so proud of you.
Okay.
I love you guys. I was so excited to hear this show tonight because, you know, when we start talking about confidence, you know, I'm all about confidence. I can get that.
Mm-hmm.
But building your spiritual confidence and being in a place where you have to rebuild your spiritual confidence is something that was new to me. And so going back to the drawing board and going back to myself and looking and listening for the positive voices and saying to the negative voices, who are you and why are you here? You must go. And not allowing it to take me back to the place that I had been a long time ago, that I'm so thankful that, you know, being with the wonderful approach pulled me so far away from. But going through this journey, especially during these devotions, it has been a challenge of holding on to my confidence and my spiritual muscles. And so I just wanted to say to the young people that each day is a new day. And just because you may not understand everything now, and just because you may stumble and fall, you have the opportunity to stand back up and go again. This has been a blessing for me because I've had my millennial here watching me. And so I was thinking about the cooking thing. She knows how to cook because from as old as she could walk, I kept her with me everywhere I went. And so she learned how to cook. And so I knew that when she grew up, she would be able to feed herself. But then I had to teach her how to deal with money. And I had to teach her how to go to God in prayer, even in simple prayers as a child. But to see her do this devotion with so much dedication, I'm so proud of every young person who has taken this chance and gave it to God. And, oh, goodness, I don't got hot all over. Don't get me started. Y'all know I get happy and start speaking out. But it is a blessing to my soul to see the young people step up, because you're not the future. You're today. We need you today, not tomorrow, today and now. So that's all I have to say. I'm so happy to have been allowed to have my little words shared with the people and the collective. Sister Princess, I appreciate you. And I'll talk to you all soon.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I remember when I first met Sister Faith, and I remember you were talking to her about her spirituality, and she was very hesitant to make that change from where she was to where she is now. And to see her now, you can just, the confidence just exudes from her, and it's really beautiful to see. And it's very shiny. and it's just so bright, and I love it. I love to see everybody's growth.
Amen.
I mean, I myself, I know I've grown, and usually you don't see it in yourself, but I know I've grown over the last couple of years. But to watch others as well has just been absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And inspiring.
And when we get to watch others, we get to watch others with a sense of pride of, I'm a part of that. I'm a part of their growth. I'm a part of their development. You know, I don't think people really understand how powerful that is. You know what I'm saying? Because that means we're all growing together. We're all holding each other accountable together. And it's so important that we do that. So those times when we do run into trouble, because we do, we're going to run into trouble. We can plan on that. You know what I'm saying? But we can also plan on being there to help each other out of the trouble. You know, I am famous for calling people up saying, oh, I need you to go do this. And they're like, now? Yeah, right now. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. I need this done. You know, let's make that phone call tonight. Reach out tonight, you know, because, you know, it's so pressing. And then to be able to look back and see where you've been, knowing where you've been and knowing where you're going, it's amazing, you know, and knowing that we had a part in it, you know, we're going to have the opportunity. We're creating a village. We are our own little village. And all of our young people will get the benefit of all of, and I think that's wonderful. I get excited when I know that my children are going to be with one of the angels, because that means they're going to hear the same thing I've been saying. But they're going to hear it in a different way, and that different way might be that way that connects them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm excited about having those connections and making them. You know, I love hearing about everyone else's kids. I know everyone's children, approximately when the birthdays are, how old they are, and everything. I love that because, to me, I know that I get to input into this child. And I know that means, and as they start to ripple through their community, even if their community is just school, but as they start to ripple through their community, they're going to be teaching others how to be better citizens. And then, you know, then we have a whole movement, and that's a beautiful thing, you know? So,
absolutely.
I've seen it ricochet. You know, I've seen friends call friends call friends and say, hey, look, you got to listen to this. Hey, look, you got to come with me on retreat. You know, you got to come do this and that. And so, you know, I've seen it happen and grow and develop, and we're still moving in a positive, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
That is the truth.
So, Sister Prentice, I know I don't grab you on the radio enough, in my opinion, but every time you stop and do it, it is always a wonderful thing. Callers calling, showing their love and support. I appreciate the time and energy that you take, because I know you keep your hands full all the time. You know what I'm saying? So it's wonderful to get you to slow down just a second. And to share with us kind of where you are and how you got there. You know, sometimes hearing about someone else's journey helps to put you in that right mindset so that you can begin to start your own journey. and really get where you need to get to, you know. So I appreciate you stopping what you're doing.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And doing the early morning texts. You know, Fernice is one of those that has been sending out the text alerts. And, you know, I heard a sister shared with me today. She said, that is so helpful. And I was like, amen, because I wanted it to be helpful. I wanted to, I don't know why this cat is hollering like this. But, you know, I wanted it to be helpful. I wanted everybody to get it. For 27 days, you have woken up a half second early just to be able to get everyone that information. And it shows people are utilizing the information. So I really do appreciate all your help and hard work in that. Okay.
Well, couldn't do any of it without you, so I appreciate it. Appreciate your support and your dedication.
Absolutely. Oof. Absolutely.
You helped me build my confidence. So there we go.
It was a labor of love, trust me. You know, I hit that highway. People will tell you when you see the 7 Mobile pull up, you know, I hit the highway. I don't hesitate. And so, yeah, it is fun. And guess what? It's summertime, so I cannot wait. I'll be on that road even more. So getting to this very important prayer part. And I will never forget in your first retreat and your initial ideas and thoughts about prayer. And you did the closing prayer for that retreat, and it just sent me over the edge, because it was in that one weekend we had done like years and years of journeying, you know what I'm saying, together. And for you to do the closing prayer, it meant everything to me. It meant everything to me. That solidified your position in my heart. It really did. So I'm going to ask you again, like I asked you then, would you like to do closing prayer? You know, I give you the option. Would you like to do the prayer for the evening?
I'm going to defer to you.
You're going to defer to me.
Okay. You pray, and I love to learn from your prayers. And yeah, you caught me a little off guard there, but
I always
yeah,
will.
I know you will too. I'm actually going to defer it to you tonight, because I love to hear it when you pray, and you know, those morning shows, listening to you, it just kind of sets the day out right. So we'll let you wrap up the evening that way too.
Okay, I'll do that, and I've heard that, you know, the morning prayers are so helpful. That is what I intended for them to be, is helpful. That's all I intended them to be. You know, I didn't know. But I'm so glad that it has been helpful in getting everybody on point and on their position. And so doing the prayer, everybody knows how important this prayer is. You know, for some people, this is the only prayer they'll hear until next week, because they haven't quite gotten that spiritual confidence together. They don't quite know how to go out and speak to God personally. They've kind of lost their way with their ancestors, and so they're still kind of reliant on someone else. And that's okay, because we all start somewhere, right? And so what we're trying to do now is to get to the point where we're like, okay, you know, I'm going to flex this muscle a little bit. I'm just going to try. You know, one thing about God loves macaroni art, that's what I call it. You know, when you're a little kid and you paint the macaroni, you put it on some string, and you make a necklace, and, you know, you give it to God, you might as well have brought him diamonds and gold, you know, because God is looking at your heart. He's not necessarily looking at what's in your hand. He's looking at your intention. He's looking at what you're trying to accomplish. And so when we come to prayer, you know, there are all kinds of prayers that we can learn. You know, prayers are, some are traditional prayers, depending on your religion. There are prayers that we can learn, depending on tradition, there are prayers to learn. And then there's something called a heart prayer. That's my terminology. It's not an official terminology. But the heart prayer is when we are applying ourselves into this prayer. You know, it's not found in a book. It's found in our heart. It's found in our person. And it just connects us to the divine, and it helps us to share with God our hopes, our wishes, desires, our fears sometimes, you know, our challenges. And so I would like to offer a heart prayer, if I could, you know, just a prayer from my heart, you know, to let God know, hey, you know, this is where I am, and this is what I'm thinking, and this is where I need you in my life, because I do need God. We all do. I'm just very aware of it. So, Father, Mother, God, I come before you humbly, hoping, wishing, praying that the words that have been spoken here are pleasing to you, are representative of your love, of your guidance. Hopefully you've been able to hear your own self in these words as we're going forward, trying to assist people in getting to know you better, getting to have more confidence in themselves, getting them to feel comfortable coming to you. We know sometimes, God, that people get lost along the way, and we know how much you treasure that lost sheep. And so we know we don't leave anyone behind. We're constantly looking. We're constantly searching. We're going to allow you to be our compass, you to be the steering wheel, you to be the guide that we are putting all measures against. God, we know that we see in part, understand in part, and so we are looking to get closer to you so that we may understand in full, and so that we can begin to move and act as wise and mature, act in wisdom, act in discernment, act in love, act in forgiveness. We need to be able to operate in those good, high qualities that you give us, and you give us so many positive examples of how to be in those ways. God, on the days that we fall short, and we do fall short of the goals that you set out for us, please continue to have patience with us. Continue to show us the righteous way. Continue to save us and to keep us covered in your grace, so that we may learn a lesson and come back and do better the next time. You know, we hope to not take your grace for granted, and we want to be able to apply it so that we can do better. We're always hoping to do better. God, please protect us on our journeys. There are those that have ill intent because they don't know you and because they are ill-equipped. God, please continue to educate them and allow their ill thoughts and ill will to not impact us. Allow it to be like water rolling off of our back. Allow it to be placed in a place where it will not hurt anyone. God, we're asking that those that have sickness in their body, may their bodies begin to be healed. You know, may we begin to treat our temples with more respect, God, so that we can move forward and be positive and truly house the righteous and pure spirit that you have for us in good, healthy containers. Okay, God, please allow our thoughts to become pure. Those that suffer where depression has come in and wreaked havoc, for those that have thoughts of leaving us early, please, God, help them to see the error of their ways so that they can continue to stay with us and grow and begin to understand that that is not an option, and that we need to all stay together, stay close together in this storm called life, and we can build with each other and then on occasion see the beauty and wonders of God and have wonderful days, even in the middle of all of this other stuff. These things I ask in your name, God, that you will continue to bless us and bless our children and protect our children and watch over them as they're learning their own lessons in this journey called life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful.